Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Lions heading into week 5, trying to get that first victory. That's right, come on. Don't stop drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, folks. That's why you're here. You believe in drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. You believe in, you know, that's all we can do. This is our team. So, I mean, it is what it is. We're going to drink that Blue Kool-Aid, and we're going to get that first victory this weekend, hopefully, against the Vikings as the Lions travel there. We'll get into that. The injuries, Dan Campbell a little bit, just that. We'll cover it all. So sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the Blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything we got to hear. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back getting ready for week 5 of the NFL season and hopefully getting ready for the first victory of this 2021-2022 season for the Detroit Lions. But before we get into all that, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z, and we got Rud Dog.
Yo!
And UJ.
Oh, I've been drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm ready for this week, fans.
All right, so it's just the three of us tonight, but that's all right. We're going to get through a lot. But first, gentlemen, let's just get through the injuries on the Lions right now and just how that's going to affect us. So Frank Ragnow goes to the IR. Another rough blow. Penei Sewell and TJ Hockenson did not practice. We're recording this on Wednesday night, October 6th. They did not practice, and maybe Hockenson's better, but at least or closer to playing. But it seems like Sewell's going to be really like a game time decision. I don't know where that came from either, quite honestly.
Yeah.
From getting beat around a little bit.
Well, they said he was dinged up during the game and was hurting during the game and fought his way through it, so I didn't really notice it, to be totally honest with you, but maybe that explains why he had a rough performance too. I don't know.
I mean, it's football. You expect these things.
Yeah, tape it up. Get back out there. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, just the Ragnow and Aquara both going on the IR, that's 12 players now that have gone on the IR for this team.
No,
with already a roster
picks
that a lot of us knew kind of needed to be healthy to make a playoff run a little bit here. I mean,
it's
a roster that was in deep overhaul, and having 12 guys, especially like our best players, not like, you know, like backup guys getting hurt. These are all starters. So you got Taylor Decker, Ragnow, Aquara, all on the IR. That doesn't include as well Tyrell Williams, our supposed number one wide receiver, Okuda, our third round quarterback. That was our backup quarterback, Bella Fonwu. Yeah, Flowers.
Romeo Quara.
Our Flowers is not on the IR, though. He's just hurt. I don't know what's his deal.
Yeah, but they're missing games. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Doesn't it seem like Flowers has missed more than he's played in his Lions career?
He's missed a few. He's missed a bit. But he also has been – he's also sort of an invisible player out there sometimes. He's that kind of guy that just quietly just does his job really well but doesn't necessarily splash.
I think that's what Patricia loved about him.
Yeah.
No splashing.
Deshaun Hand, who we thought might be back by now, still won't be back this week, it looks like. Kevin Strong, just backup D tackle. But then Tyrell Crosby, a guy that might have stepped up for Sewell or Decker.
Yeah.
And get a chance to shine again. Doesn't look like he'll be back anytime soon. So I don't. Oh, it's rough. Especially if Sewell is hurt already with Ragnow going out, the Lions are going to be playing two backup tackles.
Hey, next man up.
If you're wondering who the backup left tackle is, at least on the depth chart right now. Now, this could change. They swing Big B out there or something like that. I don't know. But Will Holden is the backup left tackle right now.
Oh,
he's 6'7", 312 pounds, 28 years old, round 5 pick for the Cardinals, played in the Colts for a little bit. And now he is the backup left tackle.
I can hear the referee now. I can hear the referee now. Holding on Holden.
He's going to be the first player the ref ever called.
The sad part
by
is you can
instead
picture
of
it
by his number.
Oh boy.
Right. Well, you'll know. Yeah. You'll know who he is, number 69 on the field. If you see him out there, that's our backup left tackle. If you're like, who the hell is that? Who are we getting down to? Evan Brown is also our backup center. It looks like he'll get a lot of experience going forward here.
Hey, but I got to say, he looked pretty good, actually. I was kind of impressed with that kid.
His run blocking wasn't as good as Ragnow's, from what I heard, but otherwise he graded out fine, like pass, but only gave up one pressure.
Yeah, this
is respectable.
This is his third season in the NFL out of SMU, 6'3", 320 pounds. But, yeah, if he can just be serviceable, that's all you can ask for, especially if you're backing up an all-pro center. You're not going to expect all-pro play.
Right.
At least don't snap it into the quarterback's groin, and we're off to a good start there.
Yeah, that's
least
a good start.
Hey, you know, Big Z, you know, we hear.
Did it? Sorry. What?
No, it was Ragnow. That was Ragnow.
Yeah. Hey, we drink the Kool-Aid here, and we're trying to look at the positive side of things. And
yes, we do.
And I know that a lot of this is very devastating right now to the fans and the people watching these games, but, you know, we understand that this is a rebuilding project here. And this is a chance. Whatever.
Come
so
on.
This is a chance to
get
see.
Get on the talking points.
Chance to see what these young kids can do. And now this possibly, because of the horrible injuries to our offensive line, could be the Logan Stenberg time that I've been predicting
podcasts. Especially Big V swings out to left tackle. Reporters have been saying.
I'm telling you, my prediction, this kid's going
to
be
go
really.
Left tackle?
Anyway, I'm looking at the positive side of things.
Stenberg, yeah, I'd love to. That's kind of why I want to see Stenberg get out there.
Well, I don't know if this would be the right week for him, because the Vikings, of any team that we faced in the NFC North, just destroy us on passing downs as far as a pass rush goes the past few years.
Good week to get in then. Good
week, we know it all too well. That's who we're going up against. The Lions, going up against the Vikings this weekend in Minnesota. Again, a noon central game.
That's an even better reason to put Stenberg in there, because
he'd bring that
nastiness. Because he's going to punch him in the teeth and, you know, make that D-line, put him in their place, bring him to heel, turn him into his bitch. That's what Stenberg does.
But seriously, I think we're going to have to try to run more on the Vikings instead of pass if we can, just because
we're
of these injuries.
We've been
here.
A decent running team so far this year.
Right.
Just that we get behind so far. And maybe part of that is, you know, our play calling at certain points. I think I sent out to you guys, so Mankey tweeted this out the other day. The Lions are currently averaging 4.28 yards per carry, putting them on pace for their best season since 2004. Woo! Drinking a Kool-Aid. Great news. Bad news. But on 55 third and fourth down attempts, they've only called 6 designed runs all year.
Holy shit.
6 out of 55 on third and fourth downs this year. And we've had a lot of third and fourth and shorts.
I said this in a chat earlier, but I think it's because Dan Campbell got stung by that first run he called on fourth and one, the first game of the season. Now
Jamal Williams kind of tripped?
Yeah. Now he's I think he got a little trigger shy with the run after that. I'm not going to lie.
Maybe.
Or whoever called the play, would be Glenn, right?
We talked about it on the last pod, but reacting to the Bears game, the fourth and third down play calling on the short downs. So I don't think we need to expand into it further. It's just when I saw that, it kind of just verified everything we talked about and what we're kind of seeing on the play calling here. Because I kind of like the play calling to some extent, but on those downs this year, it's been a little rough.
Yeah.
So I hope they can learn. Now, you know, everybody's new, but in the NFL, you know, there's not that much time. There's no excuses. It's a short memory for everybody.
Well, we got one. Is it? Well, it's not a quarter of the season done now.
It's almost a quarter. It's like 0.23.
Whatever.
0.235764%.
Oh yeah. So. Oh, that's right. So they can't look back at this phase of the season until we're halfway through the or for
I think
after the fourth
I think
quarter,
3 minutes and 27 seconds into the first quarter, it's the quarter way of the
yeah,
season.
So, so then they can look into the look back and see what's happened. But no, I was reading that they already have been looking back, and they're really trying to assess their you know what they did right and what they did wrong over these four games and strengths and weaknesses and such. So
well, I hope so.
I mean,
that'd be concerning if they weren't.
Yeah, I know. What else would they be doing?
I'm just saying, oh my god! I'm just saying this is a different level of planning, or at least introspection this week than the last 4 weeks, because the last 4 weeks they weren't just going, they didn't go over their entire game, their film of what they did. They went over the teams. Now they looked at themselves after four games. Now it's a true. I mean, yeah, you do the game film right after. And you try to, you know, you get an immediate after reaction report. But now they've looked deeply. They've looked more thoroughly. They've went through with a fine tooth comb as much as you can in the middle of a season. And they're going to make adjustments accordingly. So, you know, hopefully that's where they find improvement at that, you know, find the way to improve in that particular area and others.
Yeah, for sure. And so just some other transaction news. The Lions did sign an offensive lineman. They got waived by the Texans named Ryan McCollum. He's a guard. Just some depth there. So I'm just I just mentioned this in case you see a guy going to the game. You're like, who the hell is that? We just signed him. So
He was eating some
I just want to say as well on this podcast that we predicted Jamie Collins going to the Patriots. No, I think everybody predicted that, though, so it's not necessarily.
That was
not
a
much
real
of a pat on
prediction
the back for us. But just hey, it's unbelievable how predictive. Yeah. I mean, nobody else probably wanted him either. So
yeah, I'm a little disappointed this week though. Jalen Smith was out there in the market, and we're gonna not get him. The Packers are apparently gonna sign him. That kind of bums me out.
I don't think it's official yet, but they are definitely top on the list right now.
Right, right.
Damn.
I mean, but he'd be playing right where Derek Barnes is playing, most likely. So
he still would have beefed up our linebacking core pretty good, though.
I don't think Barnes could play next to him.
If you guys watch some of Jalen Smith's tape this year, you might.
Second guess
wanting
him. There's a reason he's out there. What about Stephon Gilmore?
Yeah, I mean, he got traded for a sixth rounder to the Panthers today.
Well, he got traded?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Panthers traded. They only had to give up a sixth rounder to get Stephon Gilmore. Pretty good.
That's a good kick the tires.
He's from there, so maybe he had some say in where he wanted to go. I don't know how that worked by only giving up a sixth rounder for him.
Yeah,
so the Lions, definitely could have used him, but I don't think he would have wanted to come to the Lions in their current situation.
No, I don't even want – I thought about it. I wouldn't want, like, necessarily vets, like, big-time names like that coming in.
Right, and the Lions, so Lions, we talked about their $55 million in dead cap space that they have on the roster. But if you include everybody that's injured, that's $33 million more of the salary cap. So in total – of guys not playing on the field, $88 million is going to those people now.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh, my God. That's brutal.
So it's pretty wild what's going on there. Now, the Lions have gotten draft compensation for taking out all that dead money, and we've talked about that extensively. But just with all the injuries now, and especially to our top players, just crazy the amount of money that is not on the field right now for the Lions.
Yeah, no kidding.
But let's talk about this upcoming game, shall we, gentlemen?
Let's do that.
So I mentioned again that the Lions are playing the Vikings, and they are, again, humongous underdogs in this game. 8.5 points on the road. 49.5 is the over-under for this game. So they're kind of projecting a lot of points in this game. Because the Vikings' defense has not been that great this year. I know that they only gave 14 to the Browns before, but, I mean, before that, they were in a lot of offensive battles, 27-24 lost to the Bengals, where Dalvin Cook fumbled when they were in field goal range in overtime. Then a 34-33 loss to the Cardinals, where their kicker missed a 37-yard field goal to win the game at the end. Then they beat the Seahawks 30-17 at home, and then lost last week to the Browns 14-7. So the Vikings have had their own string of, I guess, bad luck if you talk to Vikings fans, or self-inflicted wounds. Either way, they're very similar to the Lions this year in a lot of ways in terms of their losses, but they did get the one easy victory against the Seahawks at home. But this is a vulnerable defense, especially at the cornerback position. Their cornerbacks are rated near the bottom of the league. That's where they're susceptible. Unfortunately, our wide receivers are not the strength of our team to maybe exploit that necessarily.
This is the week where they come out and show it. You'll see.
Right. I mean, the bigger concern here is can you hold up a pretty – this is a good pass rush. The last 2 weeks they've had three sacks in each game or more, especially Everson Griffin. He's turned it on. He has a sack in, I think, three consecutive games now. It's either two or three, but either way, he's turning it on and going against two backup offensive tackles in this game possibly, or a Penei Sewell who is he's shown a little bumps here in the last couple of games, a little vulnerability. So, I mean, what do we think is the best way to offset this pass rush? It's establishing a run game, right? It's got
to
be.
Right. It has to be.
Yeah, that and you got Swift. And, I mean, the quick release routes, like your screen game.
I would also try maybe upping the tempo a little bit at times, you know, changing the pace a little bit, try to keep the Vikings off balance. We haven't really seen much of that so far this year, but I would like to see him try that.
We always see it when we're down and at the end of the game, late in the game, and then Goff pushes it and plays his best football when he's trying to come back.
I'm talking about early, first half kind of thing, where change the tempo up a bit. But definitely the run game,
for sure.
I think, is the key to our success here. We have to put it on the ground. And that's where I see, I mean, I'm going to say it again, but Stenberg coming in, a guy who can just maul.
All roads back to Stenberg.
I do like this guy. He's the key to victory for me.
Oh my god!
Am I good? Okay.
I do like coming out of no huddle. Maybe though, if another way to nullify a good pass rush is just make them tired.
Absolutely.
You can't get a good pass rush if you're pass rushing quick play, then you got to go right back to it again.
Right.
I mean, it's just humanly impossible to be 100% when you're going at a rate like that.
Yeah.
So I do like that. Right. Will the Lions do it,
plus,
though?
Plus, it's harder to coordinate, too. I mean, yeah, you create more room for opportunity.
I do like the idea of that. Now, will the Lions do it is another question.
The weird thing is that's one thing feel like we've been asking for a long time, too. Like, a consistent complaint or criticism that we've leveled multiple times over the years. Is can we just run an off-tempo offense and hurry up early on and put that pressure on? But all these teams, they seem to like to take their time.
Well, especially at the beginning of games, teams really like to do it because they have their first 15 plays that they scripted up and watch film all week and think it's going to work. So I don't know.
Right.
They really like getting those plays in and then kind of adjusting from there. Unfortunately, those first 15 haven't worked the last 2 weeks. We've scored 0 points.
Right.
Now part of that's going for it on fourth down and not making it.
Right.
But
points wise, but
nonetheless. So Minnesota on offense, really interesting. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, we know the names. But they also have a guy named KJ Osborne, not a slot receiver, just a speedy little outside guy for them. That's played pretty well. And then you got Dalvin Cook, who's still kind of nursing an injury. I think it's an ankle injury. And then Alexander Mattison. They split carries last week because Dalvin Cook, they don't want him going 100% yet. But nonetheless, the Vikings only ran for 65 yards last week, and Cleveland ran for 184 against them. So I don't know if that was just a Cleveland defense that's on fire right now after 9 sacks against the Bears and then holding Minnesota only 7 points. Because up to last week, Kirk Cousins was playing really good football. He was, I think, third in the MVP odds actually going into last week. Now that's dropped since his performance last week. But he has 9 touchdowns and only 1 interception on the year. And that interception happened at I think the end of a half or something like that. So it wasn't like a true interception, I guess. But either way, Kirk Cousins has been playing really good this year, and I don't think we should underestimate him. I know he's got a lot of people. Have a lot of different opinions on him, I guess. But at least this year, he looks like a different quarterback. And I think that's because they did invest in their offensive line a little more, the Vikings. But it'll be a tough matchup for our corners. And can we get a pass rush? Just now Aquara's out. we're really going to need Julian DeQuara, Austin Bryant to step up in this game. But it all with the Vikings, it starts with stopping the run. This is an offense that's built on the run game first. Mm. They like that Kubiak, Shanahan zone running scheme. You got to shut that down first, because like I said, Cleveland against the Vikings last week held them on 65 yards and 23 rushes, less 3 yards a carry, and made the Vikings throw it 38 times in that game, and it did not go well. So that's what you got to do. First and foremost, shut down the run. And that's what the Lions didn't do last week against the Bears. It hurt them. The most competitive they were all year was probably against the Ravens, and they shut down the run game, and that worked out really well for them in the end. But, I mean, besides a 66-yard field goal on a 4th-and-19 that they screwed up. But that was the best our defense has looked all year, and it was because they shut down the run. So you got to shut down the run. I don't know if that means loading the box or whatever that is, but this Vikings team, if you shut down the run, it's a whole different team offensively.
Yes.
So, I mean, who do we think is the key to that? Is it Barnes, Babin, or is it more up front that we need to
stall? I think it's
going to
be the whole front seven, honestly.
Right.
It could. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's the whole defense, but the front seven, I'm calling them my key to this game for us. If the front seven can play well and everyone minds their gaps and, you know, the linebackers fill, everyone gets off their blocks, controls their gaps, we'll see this defense be able to, you know, obviously then they'll test our secondary, but at that point we might have a better chance for our front seven to then pressure the quarterback and stop the pass too. So that's where I think
I'd like to see our guys hold the edge a little better than they have in the past too. I've been struggling a little bit there. Maybe if Flowers gets back, I don't know if he's back this game for sure, but he could help us there. He's pretty good on setting an edge, though, and some of our younger guys aren't as good at doing that.
True.
And, you know, Julian O'Quara is a little weak in that category. Austin Bryant could be good at it. We haven't seen enough of him yet, though, but we do have trouble. It seems like we get beat around the edge too often. And, you know, I'm just hoping we can improve there. So against this Viking run game.
How many bad angles does Will Harris take to the outside?
Taking the angle to the bench.
Only one is the angle he sits on. Yeah, on the bench. Damn,
I told your line. Did I steal your line? Sorry. Yeah. All right.
Just the names to look out for though on the Vikings defense. I think we know a lot of these names already. Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin, Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith. One of my favorite players, Harrison Smith. Just in terms of a player that I really enjoy watching. I have no rooting interest. I believe Anthony Barr for them is back this week as well for the first time this year.
Daniel Hunter too.
Michael Pierce up the middle. So they have a really good defensive line. This will be a hell of a test for an injured offensive line on our side. I guess I look forward to the challenge. But again, 8.5-point underdogs. Not a lot of respect for the Lions this week, and probably going forward, to be honest. But on the road in Minnesota always plays us tough, especially. That's why I'm surprised 49.5 is the over under in this game. That's one of the higher ones of the weekend. I don't think they've watched too many Lions Vikings games lately, where it's kind of an ugly battle.
All these high power offenses. Yeah.
There was one year where we had like a high scoring game, but overall not too many, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we'll have Marvin Jones to catch a ball over two receivers like that Thanksgiving one down the sideline. Still one of the cooler passes and catches I've seen.
I think you described it perfectly. You said a brawl. We've been in, like, brawls. That's what we are, still like a brawler. We're out there just kind of giving it our best effort, but we're nothing like these more polished teams yet. We drag these teams into a bloody, you know, fisticuffs and get all bruised up and stuff, but they still seem to end up walking away with a W most of the time. But you know, I think that's the thing. We have a long way to go in refinement, is all I'm saying.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, week 4 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week 5 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, to kick off another action-packed week. DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet only $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now on your iPhone or Android and place a bet of $1 on any week game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. Its sportsbook is not yet available in your state. That's okay. DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Michigan has online gambling, all right? And it could go right to your phone. So Detroit Lions fans shouldn't have to worry. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TPPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code TPPN. That's a T, two P's, and an N. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. All right, so gentlemen, let's get to it now, shall we?
It's what are we getting to, Z?
Ever famous predictions.
Oh yeah. I love the predictions.
As I mentioned, 8.5-point underdogs, 49.5 over-under, and Minnesota. So let's start with you, Rudd Dog. What do you got? Is it going to be a tight one?
Well, let's see. I've drank a few glasses of Kool-Aid, so I'm feeling pretty good. I think our offense matches up really well. I mean, yeah, granted, we got the injuries, but I think we got enough skill players and stuff, and hopefully we'll still be able to keep a run game going too. I think our offense is going to find plenty of ways to score, but I think our front seven is going to step up and have one of their best games to date. No, I'm going to say their best game to date, and they're going to really shut down Dalvin Cook, and basically the secondary is going to do a good job against Christian, and they're not going to let him score a single point. And
Shut up.
Lions are going to score 24 points.
So 24-0 is your prediction.
A 24-0 shutout.
Wow. All right. Well, that'd be nice.
Cephas is going to have 2 touchdowns.
That'd be nice.
And people are going to start shutting up about our receivers.
That'd be nice.
And, oh, I forgot the other touchdown is from Raymond. So,
all right. Yeah. So 3 receiving touchdowns, 3 passing touchdowns in this game. All right.
That's right.
Let's go to you, Jay. Jay.
I'm not going exactly where he went. In the NFL, it's so hard to shut anybody out. I mean, it's virtually impossible.
We never go where a dog goes.
But that's true.
In terms of prediction.
But I'm trying to find a way here. But, okay, we're going to pull this out somehow. And it's going to be tight, though. It's going to be 21-17. And our touchdowns are all going to be on the ground, okay? And this is the key to the game, the ground game. And we got to ground and pound, and we got to hurt these guys. And we got to do up-tempo. I hope they throw some of that in there. And Logan Stenberg's going to be in there paving the way. And these running backs are going to have a field day. On defense, I think we can get up there with this team. And I think we can stay with them. I think the key, though, overall right now, not just this game, but the games coming up, is Campbell's got to get these guys not worrying about winning, okay? And what I mean by that is, he's got to get these guys just thinking about what they're doing and their jobs and becoming great at what they're doing, and let the coaches worry about the winning part of it. And if they can psychologically not worry about the winning, just worry about themselves, I think he can really build something here. And let the coaches – leave that to the coaches. You know, they're doing the game plan. They'll do the strategy and all that stuff. Just convince these guys that they just got to become great football players and just get them excited about becoming great football players, and the winning will come eventually. And if he can put that in their minds, I think we'll have something here. And these guys could start playing over their heads. I think they're better players than they even know that they are. So I hope that Campbell can convince these guys to play like that. And I think they can play very well, even though they're young and inexperienced. So, I would say they'll pull out a tight one, 21-17.
That was one of our more passionate predictions I've heard in a while. Way to go, UJ. I like it.
Thank you.
Very passionate. Very uplifting prediction.
I just want to add that onto what I said. That was really...
Well, I want to say this first before I give my prediction. And that just Lions fans, you know, asking themselves if Dan Campbell's the right guy for this regime. I can tell you it can be a lot worse. We could have hired Urban Meyer to be the head coach, and it could be a lot worse. I don't know if you guys have seen what's going on there. It's ugly. It's ugly. So it could be a lot worse start to an 0-4 season. There's two 0-4 teams in the NFL, and I can tell you I would have our coach 100 out of 100 times in the other one that's 0-4 right now.
Oh, boy.
It's not saying much, though.
Yeah.
Anyways. This is going to be one hell of a battle. I think the Lions are going to have to play their best game of the season to win. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I have 24-23. I think it's going to be really, really close. I'm excited to see how the Vikings screw up this game. Then we can say they pulled a Lions, or this is a Lions play on them.
No. Kinda. Stop using the Lions as a synonym for bad. God.
I'm just going by what other people say about us in terms of what they'll be saying about the Vikings in this game. But I do think 24-23. I think Swift has over 50 yards receiving in this game. I do think we're going to utilize that screen game, especially with depleted offensive line potentially. But then to negate that pass rush, the screen game can help if done successfully, which we've seen in some degree this year.
Yeah,
I hope Hawk can play. I really do. But if not, 24-23, I think the Lions score with like 57 seconds left in the game to take the lead. I don't know if it's field goal or touchdown. I'm not sure. I just see 57 seconds on the board.
So
in my
you
mind.
Have the defense actually holding?
Yes, I hope
holding for 57
redemption
seconds?
For 2 weeks ago against the Ravens.
Ooh, wow, that's
I like
big.
That.
That's so, actually probably bolder than my shutout claim. No, I'm just kidding.
So 24-23, I have Swift with over 50 yards receiving and a touchdown. Jamal Williams getting a rushing touchdown, and then I'll throw in, I think Darren Fells gets a touchdown in the red zone as well.
Ooh, I like
that. So that's my prediction. Those are our predictions. We all predict the Lions to win yet again.
Seriously? We all did the same?
Wow. That's all right.
I'm in
damn
shock.
Straight. So, all right, gentlemen, I think that's going to do it for our week 5 preview. Lions going to Minnesota, always a tough place to play, but we want to thank our listeners for taking the time to hear our predictions. So we want to hear yours though too. So please Twitter at Drinking Lions, Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. Please go on there, please direct message us, leave a comment, whatever. About your predictions for the upcoming game. We'd love to hear it. And score. You know, can you beat our score? We'll see. We're 0-4 on the year in our predictions, unfortunately. But
we do have the uncanny habit of having the same record as the Lions, though.
That's, yes. Year. And we've remained remarkably consistent in the 3.5 years we've done this podcast. nonetheless... Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, please subscribe, please download, and please leave a review. We'd also greatly appreciate that. We take the feedback seriously and always greatly appreciate it. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week recapping week 5, hopefully the first Lions victory in the Dan Campbell era. And other than that, thank you for listening. And last but not least, as always... Go!
Lions!
Woo-woo.
Oh, yeah.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock! Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.